Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Sherman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masechet Bava Batra Daf Kuf Yod Chet Amud Bet, and continuing to analyze the Brayta in our sugya that we're looking at. Miraglim Yehoshua v'Chalev Natlu Chalkam. In the Brayta, we said that Yehoshua and Chalev received the portion of the land that should have been given to the other 10 spies. Min hani mili, how do we know that? Amar ula de amar kra, Yehoshua bin Nun Chalev yifuneh chayu min anashim ahem. So in the narrative of the spies, it says that the 10 spies died immediately, and Yehoshua bin Nun and Chalev yifuneh were the two survivors. My chayu, what does it mean that they survived? Ilei machayu mamash, if it just tells us that they lived and were not killed in that plague. Aktiv kra achrina, in the final census, the one in Parsha Pinchas, it mentions that everybody died from that generation except for Kalev and Yeshua, so we already know that they survived. Chayu. So how do we interpret it in the first verse? Shachayu b'chalkam. In other words, they took over the portion of those original spies. Now, at this point, it's important to interject. There are two types of people who died in the desert. One is people who died because of direct sins that they did, which includes the ten meraglim, it includes the mitlonanim with the meat, it includes Korach's group, and then there's the rest of the generation that died out because of the gzirat meraglim. Right now we're talking about those people who were direct sinners. Now, mitlonanim v'adav Korach lo yalan chelik pa'aretz. So the Brayta also said, that we saw in the previous podcast, said that the mitlonanim and adav Korach did not have a chelik, and that their children got the chelik via the grandparents. We have another brayta that says, and Yehoshua and Kalev got all of those portions. So lokasha, mar makish mitlonim neraglim, mar lo makish mitlonim neraglim. The machloket between the braytot is simply whether we compare those who directly died as a result of being the ten meraglim and use them as a model for the ones who directly died as a result of being mitlonim adat korach, as per the following, the Tanya. When Benotzlof had come forward, they say, Avinu met bamidbar, v'u lo haya ba'edan o adim, v'u lo haya b'toch edan o adim al Adonai b'adat korach. And the simple read of it is, our father died, he was not part of adat korach, which means he gets a portion. But we darshan each one of these phrases and say, Avinu meit bamidbar, zet slofchad. That's straight. V'u lo haya b'toch ha'ida, who's that? Ze adat meraglim. You have to remember that in several places in Shas, we use the word eida to describe the meraglim, which leads us to the conclusion that because there's 10 of them, devarm shebikdushin 10 people. Hanuadim al Hashem, elu mitlonanim, those who stood against the Hashem, ba'adat korach kemashma'o. So each one of the phrases refers to a different group of people who died in the desert as a result of their own bad behavior. Mar makish mitlonim, I don't mean to indicate that the rest of the generation that died out wasn't their own bad behavior, but it was a reaction to the meraglim, not an action that they took. Mar makish mitlonim the meraglim. So the second brayta compares the mitlonim to the meraglim and says, since Yehoshua and Kalev, we know from Chayu, got the meraglim section portion, they also got the mitlonim section. Okay, if you haven't heard Papa Babai, if you recall in the previous podcast, we saw that Rav Papa asked Abaye questions about Rabbi Yonatan's position that the land was given to those based on the arriving generation. We'll see that again, but first in another question he asks. According to that second brayta, Ichbud Yeshua v'Chalev Yar to the Chulei Eretz Yisrael, they got everything? What they meant was not the mitlonanim, which was a large group, but rather the mitlonanim within adat korach. Right, that's a little bit difficult considering that the drasha distinguished between the groups, but that's how he defends it. Again, Rav Papa asks a question against Rabbi Yonatan's position. So if you agree that the land was given based on who left Egypt, then I understand why Menashe on the West Bank has 10 slots of land. Shita de Shita Batei Avot, we have 6 Batei Avot of Menashe, Asriel, and Yezer, etc. V'arba'ah didhu asaran, the 4 of Benot Slofchad. Now that doesn't mean all 10 portions were the same, it just means there were 10 allotted portions given to the families of Menashe, and he says for some reason that 4 of them were benot slavcha. It's a little difficult for us because in our Mishnah we said that they got three portions. But that makes 10. Elamandam are the baye arts, but if you're going to count it as those who came into the land, Taman Yehuda Havu, there should only be 8. Why 8? Because Shita to Shita Batei Avot, 6 of the Batei Avot, who trade Didhu, and the 2 of Benot Slavchad, Hatmanya, that's 8. Because as we said earlier, if the land was only given based on the way Rabbi Yonatan says, then Benot Slavchad only get 2 portions, which are the 2 portions of Chefer that would have gone at Slavchad, in other words, in the redivide, but not 3. So then I understand why there's 10, but here there should have been 8. So Abaye turns around and says, you're not in such great shape either, because with Tamech Lamandam Alei Yitzim Yitzvayim Chalkar, it's Tetavu. Even according to the position of Rabbi Yoshia, there should be 9, not 10, because 6 of the Bateyav and the 3 of Benot Slavchad. Alamayit Lach Lameim, or how will you, or Papa, answer it? Chad Achad Abahave. There must have been one uncle, meaning a Slavchad must have had a brother who died after Chefer died, and that portion then is also comes to Benot Slavchad. So Rabbi Yonatan's position will be that there were two brothers like that. And so the redivide now gives them 4 chalakim. Tanya, Naton titen lahem. What did Hashem say to Moshe? Indeed, give them land. Zu nachlat avihen. That's a reference to Tzlafchad's chalak. Betoch achei avihen, among, with their uncles. Zu nachlat avihen. That's Chefer's chalak. Bavarta nachlat avihen lahen. Zu chalak bechora. That's the bechora. Those are the 3 portions. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, where he adds to it, he says, "Af chilek achi avim natlu." They also took a portion of their father's brother's pieces because that's a chilek among chayfers. In other words, there were brothers who died, and their father inherited from them. Shemar naton titain. Okay, ulamandam are trei achi da abu havu. But according to that position, it says there were 2 brothers, not just 1 brother. Because the way we're reading Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is af chelek achi avihem, meaning their father's brother in the singular. So how do we learn that? Ha'humei achuzat nachala nafka. There's another phrase in the pasuk, achuzat nachala, and that's how we know that they got also a portion from the other brother. So either way, we're able to solve that, or Papa's challenge here does not really end up favoring Rabbi Yoshua over Rabbi Yonatan. Either way, we have to add in a missing brother. Another question. The pasuk in Yehoshua that says, Yehoshua Yod Zayin says that they gave out 10 portions, it's based on what? If we're talking about people younger than 20, tuvahavu, there's a lot. If there's only batei avot, then there's 6. So the answer is, liolam batei avot kachashiv. We're talking about the batei av. What's it teaching us? It's there to teach you that Benot Slavchad got a chelik bechora, which proves what? Remember, a bechora only gets a double portion in that which his father actually owned before he died, not in something that was going to be coming to him. Alma Eretz Yisrael muchzaket he. That proves to you that Eretz Yisrael was considered muchzak, already owned by the people who left Mitzrayim, even though they didn't get there. Amar Mar. Okay, so now we're going back to the Braita. V'vanim natlu b'schut avi imeyam v'schut avi imotayan. We said in the earlier Braita that the children of the Mitlonim Adat Korach got their land bischut their grandparents, or maternal and paternal grandfather. Aiva Tanya bischut Atzman. We have a Braita that says they got their own land. So there's an easy solution to that. Lokasha, Hakamandam Ale Yotze Mitzrayim. The first Braita follows Rabbi Yoshia. It was given to Yotze Mitzrayim, so they don't have bischut Atzman anything. Hakamandam Ale Bayaritz. The second one could be like Rabbi Yonatan. It says it was given to Bayaritz. They are adults coming into the land. Korach's kids, the Mitlonim's kids. You could even say that both of them are Rabbi Yonatan. If you're already 20, you get Bishchut Atzman. If you're not 20, then you get land Bishchut, your grandparents. Okay, the end of the Mishnah said, V'shayah b'chor notel shnei chalakim. Tzlofchad was the b'chor of Chefer, and therefore he would have gotten a double portion. That double portion was given to Benot Slavchad, so they got 2 portions because of Slavchad, and 1 portion of Slavchad's own chelik. In other words, they got 2 portions of Slavchad's inheritance from Chefer, and 1 of his own chelik. Now, Ve'amai, so now we're doubling back. We already got the answer to this question, but in the form of editing. Ra'uihu, after all, the land was Ra'ui. It was not yet in the possession of Chefer, and therefore, Tzlafchad would not have gotten a double portion, therefore they shouldn't get a double portion. V'an b'chor al tabar oikiv u'muchzak. Remember, b'chor does not get a double portion in ra'ui lavo lachar mita. So, Amar v'yuhu Amar Shmuel, the first answer we give is b'tedot o'halim. They're talking about a double portion of the metaltalim they had, like the tent pegs and other things that they already owned. So, Meitiv Rabba. Rabba says that doesn't work, because Rabbi Yehuda Omer, we have this breita, Pnot Slavchad Natlu Dalad Chalakim. He claims, going against what we said earlier, that there was a missing brother or two, says, Pnot Slavchad got four Chalakim. How do I know? Shnemarve, Puchav Le Menashe Asara. Because, as we just said, there were 10 portions for Menashe. 6 of the Bateyav must have been another 4 for Pnot Slavchad. But what we see is that they got their Chelik Bechora in land, not just Metaltalin. Back to the answer that we had earlier. Eretz Yisrael is indeed Muchzak, and therefore they got the Chelik Bechora, even though in matter of fact, neither Chefer nor Tzlafchad made it to the land. Meitive, watch this. Amar Michidka, Shimon HaShikmoni, Hayali Chaver Mitamidei Rabbi Kiva. I had a friend who was a student of Rabbi Kiva, his name was Shimon HaShikmoni. V'chach haya Rabbi Shimon HaShikmoni Omer. This is what he said. Remember, there are several cases in the Torah where individual circumstances come up, sometimes raised by interested parties, sometimes raised by the people. Moshe seems to be at a loss for how to respond, and Hashem tells him. The first case is the Makalel at the end of, say, Parshat Emor. The second case is the Pesach with the Tmeim that leads to Pesach Sheni. The third case is the Mekoshesh in Parshat Shlach, the fellow who violates Shabbos. The fourth case is Benot Slavchad, and the fifth case is Bnei Yosef responding to Benot Slavchad at the end of Sefer Bamidbar. So, he, in Rabbi Shimon HaShikmoni, takes a look at the story of Benot Slavchad, and he said, don't think that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know that girls get territory. He knew that halacha. Avaloha ya yodea im not lor chele b'chora im lav. He just didn't know whether they get the double portion. Ure'uya ita pashat achlot li katev ade Moshe. Really, it should have been said by Deber Adonai Moshe Limor. It should have been done without Benot Slavchad being in the story. But Benot Slavchad got a schut because they initiated this interest in keeping their father's memory alive. And therefore, the parsha was written through them, and their name is on it. And now on the other side, Shamakoshesh B'mita. He knew, of course, that if the fellow was violating Shabbos, then he's B'mita. Shnemar Machalem Ochumat. Of course, a big discussion in Shabbos about what the violation was, Ma'amer or Tolesh. Aval lo ayodea be'ezu mita u'imahut. He just didn't know what the mita was. Skila, Sreifa, etc. Riyata parsha mekoshesh k'deva le Moshe. That parsha should also have been written through Moshe. Chayev mekoshesh k'deva al yado. Except that the mekoshesh was guilty and therefore he became the catalyst for the parsha. L'amedcha shemegalgalim schut al yidei zakai v'chova al yidei chayav. That we take somebody who is Zakai and give them a chance to get a greater merit by having their name mentioned in the context of a good parsha. And we have a Chova, and he becomes the catalyst for a negative one. The Chayav becomes the catalyst for the negative one. Of course, we don't hear his name, and neither will we. Misalkadat, now, all of that is there, all this limud of Shimon HaShikmoni is there to counter the position that Benot Slavchad automatically got Chelik Bechorab, that Eretz Yisrael's Muchzeket. What was Moshe Rabbeinu unsure about? If he knew that they get a chelek, why did he not know if they get chelek b'chora? The answer is he gufaka mistafkale. That was his suffik. His suffik was, is Eretz Yisrael muchzeket or not? Because if it's muchzeket, they get a b'chora. But if not, not. Dichti, what was his suffik? He had told Bnei Yisrael nearly 40 years earlier, v'natati ota lachem morasha ni Adonai. I'm giving it to give you the land, Hashem says, as a morasha. What's that mean? Yerushahi lachem yavotechem. You are inheriting it from your ancestors. Odilma shemorishin ve'enam rishin. Maybe it means I'm giving it to you to inherit further down, but not that you're heirs. In other words, do you own it? Or are you the conduit for giving it to the next generation? Opashtule tavayu. And in the end, they used the word morasha to learn both ways. Yerushalachem yavotechem. You indeed do have it as an inheritance. It's muchzak. And therefore, chelik b'chor already applies. But by the way, you bequeath it, but don't inherit it. And that's why in Shirat Hayam, there's this strange phrase used, to v'emmo v'tita emmo v'harnachlatcha. But Israel say, bring them and plant them in your land. To v'ein nulo nemar, to v'emmo. It doesn't say bring us, but bring them. Of course, in Pshat, they're using poetic language as part of Shirat. But the drasha here is that they were having a nevuah that they wouldn't be coming to the land, others would be coming to the land, and the land would be bequeathed to them. Okay, now we go back to the story of Benotzlofchad. The order here is a little strange. It says they can't stood in front of Moshe and stood in front of Lazar, etc. But you would think that if they stood in front of Moshe and presented the case to him and didn't have an answer, they're not going to go to lower in rank. Is it possible they went in that direction? Then they'd come to everybody else and ask them what to do. Ella, sorry, somebody covered our share of Rashiya. Rashiya says, turn the pasuk around. They came in front of the Nisi'im, then in front of Elazar, then in front of Moshe. Abba Chananu, Mishim Rabbi Eliezer, and he says differently. Beveta Midrash HaYoshvin. In other words, Moshe, Elazar, Hanisi'im, Kol Eda were sitting in front of the, in the Beit Midrash. Vachum Amdullah, the Fekulan. And the daughters came in front of all of them. So the pasuk here is not describing a sequence of them asking, but rather the mitziut in front of whom they were standing. Now, b'maykami palgi, so what are Rabbi Yoshiya and Rabbi Chanan disagreeing about in interpreting the pasuk? It's a halachic point. Mar savar cholkin kavod the talmid makom rav. One says you're allowed to show deference to a student in the presence of his Rebbe. We'll see whether or not that's the case. Mar savar ein cholkin. And the other says that you do not show such deference, therefore we have to read the pasuk as going in the opposite order. V'hilchata chokin, and this is unprecedented, v'hilchata ein chokin. And here the Gemara records that the halakha is both, we do show deference and we don't show deference. So kasha hilchata hilchata, we have a contradiction within the rulings. Hilchata hilchata lo kasha, the answer is we don't have a contradiction. Ha de poligle rabbe yikara, ha de lo poligle rabbe yikara. If the Rebbe shows deference to his Talmud, recognizes him, maybe stands up in his presence or something, then indeed we can do the same thing. If not, then not. Okay, now, Taina, we have the following bright. Chachmaniotain, Darshaniotain, Sidkaniotain. They were wise, they knew how to expound, and they were righteous. Chachmaniotain, why do we think they were wise? Shalafisha Adibru, they spoke at the right time, they waited for the right time. We understand that Moshe was teaching Parshat Yibum, not Parshat Nachalot. If brothers dwell together and one dies without children, then they walked in. What do they say? Amrulo. Im kaven anu chashuvin. So the Benot Slavchad said, if we as daughters are considered like sons, then tana lanu anachala kaven, then we should get an inheritance like a son. Im lav, if not, then titabe mimenu, then our mother should have to go through Yibum. In other words, you can't say that we're children and keeping our father's name alive for purposes of not having Yibum, but we don't get land. After all, how do we keep our father's name alive? So one way or the other. But they waited for the moment that Moshe was teaching Parshat Yibum to throw it in. Moshe, of course, is not going to say, let their mother do Yibum, because that's a violation of Eshetach. Right? Now, Tzidkani Otein. Sorry. Miyad v'ekir Moshe mishpatan l'fini Adonai. So then Moshe was convinced, and he said, okay, Hashem, what do we do? Darshani Otain, what's the drush? How do we know they knew how to darshan? Shayu Omrot, Ilu Haya Lo Ben Lo Divarnu. Even if our father had had a son, we wouldn't say a thing. Vatanya Bat, we have a brighter that says, if he had a daughter, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Sam Mikan Bat, that brighter doesn't work, gotta erase it. Abayim Arfilo Haya Bat Lo Ben Lo Divarnu. They even said, this takes us back to our earlier sugya, that if father had a son who had a daughter, and that son who was dead, we still wouldn't say, have said anything, because we understand the halacha. But there's only daughters. Okay. Tzidkani Otain, how do we know that they're righteous? Shaloni su'el lahagun lahem. They only married appropriate men. Tani Rabbi Lezman Yaakov, we'll see more about that later. Afiluk tanashaban loni seit mehutam ba'arbeit mar ba'mishana. Even the youngest one did not marry until she was 40 years old, which they are seeing as tzidkut, like the Rashbam says, they waited to find the right kind of guy. Is that such a good thing, though? This is a mystery to me how this could be understood obstetrically, if you will. But Rav Chista said, if a girl marries below the age of 20, you'll let it out shishim. She could have kids all the way till she is 60 years old. Batasrim, if she marries at 20, then you'll let it ad arbaim. She could have kids until she is 40. Bat Arbaim, if she marries at 40, then Shuvin Eledet, she can't have any kids. So what's the big praise for these daughters that they married at the age of 40? Because they were righteous, they had a miracle happen to them, as it happened to Yocheved, Moshe's mother. Amram is called an Ish Bet Levi, and he married a Bat Levi. Now, Efshar Bat Me'ah U'Shloshim Shana V'Kara La'Bat, there's a tradition that Yocheved was 130 years old, and here she's called a Bat Levi as he marries her at that age. Now, why do we think she's 130? Because according to the tradition, we were in Mitzrayim 210 years. Moshe was 80 when they left, which means Moshe was born 130 years after they came in. If you're listening to this relatively live, this is a sugya in this week's Parsha, where Bnei Yisrael who come to Mitzrayim are counted, and the count adds up to 69 people, and yet it says that there were 70. So the Midrashic answer as to the Pshat answer as to who's missing is Yaakov. Take a look at the Ibn Ezra there. But the Midrashic answer as to who is missing is that it is Yocheved who was conceived Baderech v'nolda ben Achomot and was born right on the way into Egypt, which means that she would have been 130 years old at the time of the Exodus, or the time that Moshe was born, 8 years before the Exodus. How do we know that? Tichtiv she'olda utal Levi b'Mitzrayim. In Parsha Pinchas, in the census, she's mentioned as the one who was born to Levi in Mitzrayim. Why did it say she was born in Mitzrayim? Le'ratav Mitzrayim v'horata shalob Mitzrayim. She was only born in Egypt, but she was not conceived there. She was conceived, of course, on the way. So why in Parshat Shmot, when she is remarried to Amram, why does it say she's a bat, like a young woman? She had suddenly a refreshing of her signs of youth on her body, which means nitadena basar, her skin got fresh again and youthful, nitpashtu akmatin, the wrinkles ironed out, chazar yofi limkomo, and the beauty came back to its natural place. So in other words, we're saying that the daughters of Tzlofchad, because they're tzidkaniot, had the same kind of nace happen to them. Now adding on to the piece, this is a sugya in the famous Haggadah in the beginning of Sota, Vayikach, that Amram took her, Vayachzor mibayla, it should be that he took her back, because after all, remember, he had originally been married to her, had Aaron and Miriam, and then divorced her when the decree came of throwing the kids in, and Miriam convinced him to remarry, whole sugya in Sota. Rehuda Barzvidim, Lamech HaSaba Maaseh Likuchin, he made a whole big wedding. Hoshiva Papirion, he put her in a sedan, Vayaron and Miriam, Masharim Mifanao, the kids were dancing in front of her, singing in front of her, Cheshari Tomrim, Eima Barim Smecha. Great. Now, Lahalan mana back to Bnot Tzlofchad. Lahalan mana ana katuv derech gedulatan, kan derech chokmatan. If you look at the listing of Bnot Tzlofchad in Parsha Pinchas when they come forward, they're listed in one order. If you look at the listing at the end of Sefer Bamidbar when they marry men in their own tribe, it lists them in a different order. So Messiah Rabbi Yami, this supports Rabbi Yami. The Rami b'yeshiva lechachar chokma. When you're sitting people for yeshiva, you put the wisest first. When it comes to a feast, you put the eldest first. So when it comes to the wedding, you put the eldest girl first in age order. When it comes to wisdom, meaning when they came and approached Moshe, it was an order of their wisdom. But Amar Ravashi, this makes it a little difficult because Ravashi says that ruling of Rami Ami is only if somebody is significantly older than the rest, or for yeshiva, significantly wiser. Otherwise, we don't distinguish. You don't say you're this kind of wise, and you're a little bit less, and you're a little older, and a little bit less old, and therefore we're going to seat you in that order. Now, Rabbi Shmuel has a different approach. Rabbi Shmuel, but not Tzlofchad Shkulotayu. He says they were all of equal stature. Shemar Vatihiyena. When they married, it says they became. Havaya Chat Lekulan. They're all the same. And if that's the case, then the reason that they're listed in different orders is simply it's arbitrary because the orders are all the same. Okay, we'll pause at this point. In the next podcast, Mirza Hashem, we have more of the Agarata of Bnot Tzlofchad and looking also at why the prohibition of a girl who inherits marrying out of the tribe was not a permanent prohibition. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.